The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Philosophy, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Hi, Matt. Good to be here.
Yes, thanks for the... Well, I haven't even gotten the... the thing that you sent me yet. But thanks anyway. Thanks in advance.
Thanks in advance for the funny text you sent me.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I also laughed extra out loud because someone sent me this week this on fire, lifelike skeleton cartoon sitting in front of an old CRT monitor. And behind the skeleton it says, "We hope this email finds you well." I'm like, oh, that sort of approximates my day-to-day life. So I printed it out, and I put it at work, and I put it on the fridge at home. So I was like, yeah, this is like the way that we work around here.
That's right.
So who's driving you wild? I saw, is that the intro book that you had in there a second ago?
The big fat one?
Yeah.
No, that's for early modern.
Early modern.
Descartes to Kant.
So that's a big deal. I mean, that's every other year's kind of course, or?
Marty and I alternate it usually, okay. But okay. I haven't taught it in a while, which is why I feel like so uncertain and sort of discombobulated with respect to it. But yeah, we have a cycle for the history courses, so we're always running at least one every semester. So
that's
ancient,
cool.
Medieval, early modern, contemporary.
Nice.
But for, you know, it's the philosopher's sense of time. So for us, the modern period is 1641 to 1787, right? So
I was about to say, but those guys weren't alive last week, so...
That's right.
Yeah, that's all right. There's postmodern, post-postmodern, you know, that's the way it
There's
works.
5 minutes we're never going to get back again, worrying about postmodernism.
Professor Stephen Manning is also here with us. You're looking really orange today.
Orange.
It's good because then you don't get run over when you
run. I was mentioning my color. Last year you mentioned my red shirt. Today it's orange.
It is. It's quite bright. It's almost like you're rooting for the Netherlands.
Or you're wearing the colors of my high school, which is really kind of sad.
There you go.
Because it's the Oregon State colors, I believe, are black and orange, right?
But also Beaverton High School.
Beaverton High School.
Home of the Beavers.
Wow.
But, I mean, there's a reason why you wear colors like that when you're running, right? I mean, you want to make sure people see you and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, although I drove the car here.
Okay.
We ran this morning, but I didn't wear this. But, yes, you're right.
Well, that's the tech shirt that they gave us for the Belle Isle New Year's Eve run.
That's right. Oh, just from the previous year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, New Year's a couple of months ago.
Nice. The year before it was nicer, I think.
That seems like a lot of effort to put in to get a piece of clothing, having to run a...
That's not why we do it, though.
Technically, we pay.
Although, having said that, though, when we get something chintzy, even when we get like a cotton T-shirt, long sleeve or short sleeve, we don't want that.
Cotton.
We don't want that. We want stuff we run in. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
When we do like the half marathon, well, we've seen signs in Canada. They're so funny there across the border. Signs will say, "This is what you paid for." And a banana.
Yeah. They're very funny. They're very creative over there.
They are.
You go over the bridge, and then it's Riverside Drive.
Right.
You come back and come through the tunnel.
Sure.
And there are a lot of people out there, a lot of housing. People
yeah,
out there with
nice.
The signs are very creative. They're very funny. Far more than the Americans
I
are.
I know. It's really
awesome.
Cool. Yeah, you paid. This is what you got.
Yeah.
For,
you paid for this?
You paid for this.
And at that point, we're at like 5 or 6 miles, and it's beginning to hurt a little bit, and we're saying, you know, they got a point.
Because you got to pay. You gotta
I did
pay
this.
To run.
We could be home having brunch or something.
Wow.
Or sleeping.
We did a different one up by Somerset this past year.
Yeah, that one was fun.
It was better, yeah.
You're referring to the one they call the Turkey Trot, or is there a different version of it?
You've done that one before.
Turkey Trot's like a free-for-all, right? It's not really like organized.
The downtown Turkey Trot is an organized one, and it's...
Oh, okay.
The what you get for what you do and pay, it's
not
worth it.
Well, and we finished, and we're certainly, I don't know if we did a 5 or 10
page. We're off that
one. Finished,
we did
and we're certainly not at the front of the, you know, we take our time, to put it mildly. We get there, and they had these, the water, you know, you always have water thing when you finish. The water was on these huge pallets. It wasn't even unwrapped yet. And we're—I mean, people finished way ahead of us,
right?
And where's the water? Oh, they haven't even cut the—you know—they're in the wrap stuff.
I love it.
But our next one is a week from tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. The Punchki Run.
The Punchki Run. Yeah.
Yes.
So you don't eat a Punchki before or during the race?
No, after. No, no.
Wouldn't it be more fun if you did?
No.
I think it might hurt a little bit. Those, of course, being the dulcet tones of Professor Dan Maggio of the FIRST organization,
who almost jumped
out of his chair at the word Punchki. And why the heck
How
not?
Many marathons have I run?
0.0.
I wouldn't necessarily call this a marathon, so don't worry
about
it.
You've seen those things on the back of cars.
Absolutely.
Yes.
0.0 is my speed, too. Yeah. Don't worry. So what's going on, Dan? Do you have any plans for Fat Tuesday? This is important stuff.
No, I don't. But I am looking forward to the fish fries. I'm already lining up all the nights.
I think you're really the only genuine Catholic here. So.
I'm just, you know...
Yeah, you actually give something up.
Can we expect Shrine's fish baked return?
I mean, this would be the year to come back. They are doing, Shrine is doing a Punchki on the porch. And you don't even have to register ahead of time. You show up at the church, you get donuts. I'm like, this is my kind of event.
I never heard of Punchkis before I moved here.
Well, it's a big deal around here.
Yeah,
just don't get a prune one.
I never did either.
Prune is the original, but it's not the best.
That's the original? Really?
The original is prune, yeah.
Yep.
That, of course, is the voice of Professor Heather Hill from English. Yes, bringing up the prune punchki.
The prune punchki, which I think actually last year when we did the punchki run, I grabbed a prune one by accident and did not finish it.
Okay.
Had the rush home, did we?
No, actually, because then we went to the beer tent.
After eating prunes?
Yeah, well.
You're really pushing it, Anna.
That's just...
You know, it's so weird to, like, be in the cold air after, like, running 3 miles and then get that cold beer. I mean, I don't know. There's something kind of cool about it.
Yeah, it really is.
Then you go home, take a shower, and crawl into bed.
Well, it's kind of counterintuitive. You feel like a hot, you know, hot cocoa or something. It's counterintuitive, but that beer is...
It tastes good, man.
Well, yeah, but that's presumably because you're sweating, right, when you run. So you need to be a little dehydrated.
Beer is also dehydrating.
Streets of downtown Hamtramck.
What are we talking, by the way? I've actually wanted to ask this for the last couple of years that you've talked about it. What beer? This isn't like a Stroh's or anything, is it?
No, they usually...
I was just thinking that, and I don't know.
It's usually like a local beer.
It's a local, yeah.
Usually you have two choices, and one is usually better than the other.
We are a great beer state.
You remember more than me. We will report back.
Please.
Anyway, we have questions.
Yes, we do. Because, you know, this is a program where you send us questions regarding anything.
We forgot about that part.
If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize.
Food, though.
You can send the questions to us in a number of ways, emailing us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook or Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. So here is where we find ourselves. Are you ready? Dear profs, why do I listen to Ask the Professor?
Is that the question?
Because
are we answering that? Or
listening to ATP brings me back to my college days. I graduated from college in the 80s, and listening to your show is the closest I will come to enjoying the intellectual stimulation of the academy. This leads me to my question
in the 80s too.
For today's show.
Yeah.
Attached are 7 questions concerning memorable classes I took in college. You will earn a passing score answering 5 of the questions correctly. This is the best part. Sincerely, it's our old friend, Alan Ira from Palm Springs, California. P.S. I am an occasional submitter of questions to your show. Absolutely, Alan.
Excellent.
We recognize your
name.
Thank you.
And we appreciate the personal nature of these.
But did he say where he went to, where he graduated from?
No, I'm wondering whether that may show up in the questions, but yeah, we'll see. They're related to the
Maybe we have to guess
courses.
The class.
Yes.
That they were in.
Yes, I think that's where this is headed. I was required, number one, to take an ethnic studies class to receive my bachelor's degree. Frankly, I was not interested. However, the ethnic studies class I enrolled in turned out to be one of the most fulfilling courses I ever took.
Nice.
One assignment required students to ask their parent or parents how and why their family immigrated to America. Each student then had to write an essay on what was learned. What do you think the title of the course was? It's fairly specific.
Coming to America.
I mean, partial credit.
Ethnic Studies 101.
I'm getting closer. Oh. Getting closer. Ethnic is in the title of the course. It's a two-word title. Ethnic is the first word.
Ethnic exploration.
Getting closer. The second word starts with the letter G.
Ethnic awareness.
G.
Ethnic G.
Grazing.
No, it had to do with, remember, where your family immigrated to America from.
Oh, genealogy.
Getting closer.
Geography.
Actually, geography. Ethnic geography is the scientific study of ethnic distribution,
really?
Including how and why different ethnic communities form in particular geographic areas. Yes.
Except in America. It's the only country based on an idea.
Yeah, that is true. I was about to say, and the level two course, maybe it should be the level one course, is diaspora. But we'll talk about that at a completely different time. Yes. These are the people who chose to come to the United States.
Just watch Coming to America.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Good for comedy. I majored, Alan tells us, in political science. How interesting.
Way to go, Alan.
Good choice.
One of the courses I took was called Political Philosophy.
Ooh.
That
one
we
of
both
the authors
teach. Yeah.
Were assigned to read, penned by a famous essay about the cause of conflict between societies. This author was best known for a field outside of political science proper. He coined the term narcissism of small differences. Who coined that term?
Does Montesquieu?
No, that's not what it says here. This author was best known for a field outside of political science.
It wasn't political.
And he coined the term narcissism of small differences.
I've heard that phrase.
I don't know if I would have come across this in my brain.
Can you tell us his discipline?
I think it would give it away, but I will do it anyway.
Adam
hardcore
Smith?
Psychology, yes.
Psychology, Freud.
It was Freud. Yeah. Sigmund Freud came up with the narcissism of small differences, yes. I don't know what to say about that. I think that I would look to this side of the table. Did Freud write about politics a lot?
Not that I know of.
Or philosophy a lot? I don't know.
Well, you know, it's like everything else. If you think that politics is ubiquitous as I do,
right.
It is.
The answer would be yes.
Which it sort of is, yeah. Exactly.
I just finished reading a book on politics and opera.
Oh, my gosh.
To give an example of the ubiquity of the discipline.
Clearly.
Now, Alan didn't say that was his favorite course.
Well, he majored, though.
He
was a major.
Yeah, he was a political science major.
Yeah.
Did you read A Year in Provence yet?
I did, yes.
Did you like it?
Thank you. Very much.
We're all over the place today, folks.
It's okay. We're having fun. My apologies.
More food.
To Professor Mayo. Apology accepted. I was not interested in science when I was in college, so I took the easiest course I could find to fulfill the science graduation requirement.
Nothing
Unfortunately,
wrong with that.
The class was more difficult than anticipated.
Yeah,
it usually is if it's science.
What do you think was the title of the class? His hint is it was a basic botany class. Go into comedy mode and see if you can guess what the title of the course was.
Plants for Ants.
Getting pretty darn close.
Plants.
It's like geology was rocks for jocks, right?
Right. I mean, rocks for jocks. Yeah.
Something like plants for the plant killer.
Plants for people who can't keep a plant alive.
That would be me.
No, that's not what it was.
Flowers for non-geeks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give Heather one chance to score a point here, and then we'll just go forward.
Heather,
because
Heather.
It's all, you know.
Botany for botany.
Yeah. All right. So it was just called World of Plants.
World
like
of
you
Plants.
Signed up for a class, World of Plants, you know. It's like a rejected Disney World item.
The math
know.
Class I took was actually called Math for Non-Math Majors.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It was very explicit about what the course was.
Although the first scientific concept I ever really remember learning in school
was
photosynthesis.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
We learned that like in first, second grade, about plants converting light into, and I thought it was really cool.
And you feel like a badass when you say the word, no matter what your age is, you know, like, oh, we learned about photosynthesis today. Absolutely.
Yeah. I felt so smart.
I also laughed because somebody started printing full, essentially, you know, flag-sized flags with block lettering on them recently, and I've actually seen them flown outside of people's houses or, like, shown at, like, an NFL game. What is it? We choose to do this. I forget it.
All right, well, maybe we'll come back to that later, folks.
We'll put a pin in that.
I'll have to check out my phone. It was really funny in my head.
Yeah, that was hysterical.
Yeah. Oh, right. Jeez. Friday afternoon. While in college, I was a member of one of the university's teams for 4 years. Can you guess the team I was on? Please don't spend too much time arguing debate? Over the question. Debate. Yeah, he was on the debate team. Oh, okay. Absolutely.
I was going to say philosophy, but same thing.
I'm going to say UN, Model UN.
Model UN's a good
one.
Did
they do that in college?
But do they call that a team, though, Stephen? Do they call it a team? It's like that.
Well,
really.
Yeah, it's a group of people, sure. Yeah, and you go as a team. The school goes as a team.
Okay. I don't accept that.
I used to do it.
Yeah, but the debate team is an actual thing. That's what it's
and
known
this is
as. Debate
taking
team.
Taking 8 students representing a particular country that Toronto is not a team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Moving on. Moving
on. Chili without beans.
Oh, my gosh. Obviously, cross show talk. While in college, I took a beginning acting class. Good. One of the plays we analyzed was written by Henrik Ibsen. According to Wikipedia, the play is considered, quote, a masterpiece within
Dolls
the genres
House.
Of literal realism, 19th century theater, and world drama. What is the title of that play? It is not A Doll's House.
Ibsen.
Two-word title. Two-word title. Initials of the title, H.G. I believe.
Oh,
it
it's
is
a woman's name, isn't it? Helga Gabler?
Hedda Gabler, yes. Yeah. A masterpiece within the genres of literary realism, 19th century theater, and world drama.
That was a trick question because everybody thought it would be Doll's House.
Well, why isn't he taking any philosophy classes? That's what I want to know.
We got a couple more questions to go.
There's time.
Chill your jets.
We didn't have philosophy get a call out with the Sigmund Freud question.
He didn't have a poli-sci advisor that told him to take philosophy classes.
Ah, that's always the problem. Yeah.
The college I went to, I think that's probably as close as we're getting, had courses that studied famous American cities. That's kind of cool.
Hmm.
I took a class about San Francisco. According to the professor who taught the course, why were there so many fires after the 1906 San Francisco earthquake?
Because it ruptured gas lines?
Gas lines.
Yeah. I think that that's a good guess, but that's not what it says here. He did do a good job, according to the professor who taught my course. You know, so there's a little bit of English on this, no pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
You
know.
Oh, there's so many
a lot
fires.
Of the city lighting was by gas.
Or that, kerosene or something.
Or
right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it would have been.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yep.
At least a little breeze burns the city down.
I remember, I mean, Leslie and I had our honeymoon in San Francisco. Oh. We've visited a couple other times since then. And this is the sort of like popular logic, since it's been over 100 years, that people say about the great San Francisco earthquake of 1906.
Were people cooking in their houses more or something like that?
Getting closer, a little bit closer. So it's not the gas.
It's a heating?
No, not a heating thing. No.
Fireworks?
No. And it's not the coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco, Mark Twain, one of my favorite quotes of all time. No, they did it on purpose, because mostly the insurance of the day would not cover a building if it was damaged by earthquake,
arson.
But if it was destroyed by a fire.
Really?
So,
okay.
It's kind of sad.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Insurance fraud, exactly. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I think it's wild because we had a question like this a few shows ago where we were remembering great books that we read when we were in undergrad. And this is great that Alan just sits down. He can pound out 7 questions about very specific things he remembers from those courses, which I think we all could do, you know, at some level. This is the last one. I guess there is no philosophy question.
Aww.
Sorry. In my senior year, oh, my, I took a very popular class. It had more than 100 students enrolled. And was taught in an overpacked auditorium. The professor showed movies. I cannot ask you specific questions about the course. ATP will probably censor any question that I could ask. What do you think was the title of the course?
Pornography 101.
Film?
I'll give you partial credit. I'm thinking in a very strong Carol Weisfeld direction here. If you remember the courses she used to teach for us.
Yeah. Sex.
Sexuality.
Human sexuality. Yep. Yeah, human sexuality.
I took that course as an undergraduate. It was great.
Yeah. Very popular course, Alan says. That's cool. Thanks for those questions, Alan. Those were personal and fun, and everybody got to answer a couple things. And I think...
Let's ask Alan to tell us where he went to college.
Yeah, we need to know, curious. Alan. You got to send it
to
us.
Yeah, those are good questions,
absolutely.
Actually.
Very, very good. Okay, so we are where we find ourselves very often with a couple minutes left in the show to go to the list of Frank Burrows and the Family Burrows.
Imponderables.
20 new imponderables for your fine show. What shall we take a look at here? Oh, okay. This goes exactly where I expect it would go. So you're midnight snacking. What are you eating for your midnight snack? It's been a while since I've snacked at midnight, but
yeah.
I'm going to have to think about this one.
Mm. Mm.
But nothing makes me happier than getting in bed at the end of the day with my book and a snack, and all I have to do is eat and read and go to sleep. It's like, this is what everyone should do with all of their time.
Of pleasures. Eat, sleep, read a book. I love it. Probably not in that order, but yeah.
Chips of some description.
Sure.
I need something salty, crunchy, or I can't believe I'm actually confessing this, Top Ramen noodles.
Oh, come on. That's wonderful. Top Ramen. Let's do this.
Yeah, you probably don't need to eat three packages in one sitting, but...
Yeah, I'm going to be really worried about your sodium intake, but otherwise, yes. Look, there are a lot of people...
The bad part is the sodium intake.
There are a lot of people that buy those blocks. I mean, we've done this a couple times, not much recently. Those blocks of ramen are cheapo, right?
Yeah.
We're living in an inflation world. If you just take the noodle block,
yeah,
you can get some stuff done with that. Just don't use the flavoring sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah. Or use your own flavoring, you know?
So. Yep.
Matt, it's not ramen if you don't eat the, you know, packets of flavored salt.
I've seen recipes for ramen noodles, use the stuff. Yeah. They're all over the place. And bone broth, and you make a...
Yeah, that's what you would do. That's not
I'm gonna steal it and just stay right where you are, Beth, because when I was a freshman at Detroit Mercy, so first year, 1993, I got a gigantic paper ream size box wrapped for Christmas from my younger brother. And when I opened it, it was perfectly Tetris style packed with the packs of ramen. He's like, this whole box cost me $5. Don't college kids like ramen? And then I just opened this box to everybody on my floor over in East Quad. And like, you know, over many weeks, we're kind of picking through near the end the flavors that people didn't really like or, you know, left and stuff. But I think it may have like kept the entire dorm fueled for about a month after Christmas that year. So,
nice.
And that is classic midnight snacking for college students. Time to study.
That's probably when I started. Yeah, that sounds about right. College.
Yep, there you go. Midnight snacking. Heather, Dan, Steven.
I don't snack. I don't do it. No.
Oh,
I mean.
Well, I don't snack exactly at midnight. I'm usually asleep. But.
Or pretzel, but I don't. I'm not a, like before I go to bed kind of snacker. Maybe a cookie.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't snack.
I have to give you a better answer.
Sugar-free popsicles.
The ice cream joint up by us.
In the summer, ice cream, actually.
Yeah.
In the ice
cream. There you go. Dairy Deluxe opened on Wednesday. And so, of course, we did our traditional family portrait because they usually open on February 1st, but they stayed closed because it was negative 30 or whatever those days.
There's supposed to be a new ice cream place in Berkeley that sells, is it ice cream on a stick?
Bombshell Treat Bar is coming to Berkeley. Oh, yes. Hardcore good chocolate from what I hear. We need endorsements, folks. We need endorsements.
Yeah.
So, but ice cream is good because some of those places are open till 10 p.m. and the sun is still out. You're like, let's go get some ice cream.
How about leftover popcorn?
That's awesome. Sure. Popcorn's great.
Like leftover popcorn that you've brought home from the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And isn't this like the 50th year anniversary of Schoolhouse Rocks?
Yes.
I think there was a special on the other
I just wanted
yeah,
to get
couple,
that in there. It seemed
ago.
An appropriate thing to mention on this program.
Where we all learned how things got passed in Congress.
That's right. I'm
I still
bill.
Remember it.
So, Stephen, if you had to say something.
Well,
what kind of chili would Stephen Manning cook at midnight?
How about apples with peanut butter?
Apples with peanut butter is a snack. Well, if I'm home a lot more than I used to be, obviously, and so I sometimes come down to the kitchen, take a break, and try to avoid all the bad stuff. But my go-to thing is an apple, a Honeycrisp apple cut up with peanut butter on it, which
Beautiful.
Is healthy. And, of course, the dog, any inkling that there might be any sort of food involved the dog shows up and begs, and he loves, so he ends up getting half of the apple with peanut butter.
He loves both of those things. Yeah. He turns 8 on Tuesday.
Oh my gosh. Or 8 human years?
No, 8 animal years.
8 dog years. It's about 56 human years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Is it 7 years?
8 times 7.
8 sevens?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's wild.
He's a middle-aged pup.
Middle-aged puppy.
So handsome.
He's so handsome.
I was going to ask what your apple of choice is, because we get into great debates at the Mayo House where the snobbiest of all of us is at the Cosmic Crisp level, where it's a Honeycrisp flavored apple, but apparently it will last forever on a shelf. And they're also $150 bajillion each.
Pink ladies.
I like pink ladies, too.
We like pink ladies.
Pink ladies are very good. Yeah.
Depends on what's in season and what's not. $50 billion at Westbourne. Yeah. So, yeah, exactly.
See more pink ladies in the summer, I think.
That's the thing I spend the most money on, probably, after apples? A house payment. No, food.
Oh.
I mean, other than house payment or something, that's probably the thing now that...
Yeah, that and gas,
I like to
right?
eat, and I like to eat good food, and I'm willing to pay for it usually.
Yeah.
I mean, like those grapes at Westport are now $5 a pound, but they're so good.
Those are good grapes.
Good grapes.
They spoiled me. I can't buy grapes at Meijer anymore.
Oh. I mean, Drew and I can eat a bag of those just as a side for dinner to have as a fruit or veg.
Red grapes are the ones?
No, the green ones.
Okay, big green ones.
Like,
got it.
Some of them are literally like the size of small golf balls.
No, it's true. It's
They're
true.
Huge.
We really had some super sweet ones we got at Eastern Market once, remember?
Oh, those were really good,
There were some
too.
Special, I forget the name of them, but they were...
Got them at Eastern Market.
Yeah. Oh, they were so sweet.
Oh my gosh!
Best grapes, but puppies. Somehow, puppies can't have breaks.
We've ended up on food.
I'm shocked.
Again. Surprise!
Again,
we end up on food.
Speaking of puppy, he needs a walk.
Oh, geez. Well, then I'm afraid, you know, we're not necessarily out of time, but I think that we've run out of things to talk about, and it's Michael's job to stretch the episode.
I'm doing breakfast for dinner tonight, though, which Dan is like the only other person I know who really loves breakfast for dinner as much as...
I love breakfast
as much
for
as
dinner.
We, oh, yeah?
Let's crack open a can of corned beef hash and have a summit on
I like corned beef hash. Well, Stephen made really good BLTs for lunch today. They were so good. I hadn't had one in so long.
Probably
it was
tastes
so good.
Great.
I was really hungry.
Yeah, those are good.
I'm afraid... The time has come for us to say goodbye, Heather.
So we did stretch it
but
out.
But not prune punchkies.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Stephen.
Goodbye.
And Beth.
Goodbye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.